Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hetty Coleman Podcast, where we sit down with fabulous people to help go win conversations, ladies and gentlemen. Now, go win is being consistent and doing the right thing that allows for you to achieve the wins that you have defined for your life so that you can live out your greatest story. Today, ladies and gentlemen, today, are y'all listening to me? I mean, today, right now, as you are listening to this, we got a fabulous person in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Fabulous. I've been knowing this lady for a long time. And she's married to a fabulous man. But you know what? This ain't about the man. That man's right now ripping out tubs.
That's right.
This is about her. That, ladies and gentlemen, is my dear friend. Church family. So you get some family you are born with, mm-hmm. Some you get to pick.
Yeah.
This is family. This is family I get to pick. Now, I don't know if she picked me, but I got to pick her.
You're picked.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Maggie Clark. Yay. How you doing, Maggie?
I'm fabulous.
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All the way from Luther, Oklahoma.
Yep, that's where we live.
So had you lived in the country before you lived out where you're at now?
Never. My grandparents live in the country, but I never did.
You never did.
Right.
So since now living out in the country, mm-hmm. What is the things like? Because of X, I would never move back to the city. Not saying that you never will, but
sure.
But because of X, you wouldn't.
Quiet. Mm. Trees. And not looking in my neighbor's windows.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like,
just space.
Right now, I could open these curtains behind me, and I could look right into my...
Right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
There's space.
Love it.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha. And then... But you know what I was for sure you were going to say? You could have a chicken run in the back of your...
I was going to say animals. yes, dogs and chickens.
Yeah, because you have a pretty fabulous chicken hen. Is it called a hen? Chicken coop?
Taj Mahal,
yeah.
It's a chicken coop where they sleep and a chicken run where they hang out.
Gotcha.
When they're not free ranging.
Chicken coop and then chicken run.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So like a dog run. You don't want your dog out in your yard. You make a little run.
Gotcha. So they can kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty fabulous.
It's pretty fabulous. My husband likes to say we have, we started with $8 worth of chickens and spent $3,000 on a chicken coop. We're waiting for the ROI to balance out.
Yeah. Yeah. It might not happen though, right?
Probably not with the egg sales. No. Especially because I don't sell them. I give them away.
You give them away? I was about to say, you just recently gave me 8 eggs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We just give them away.
Is something, because you had never had chickens either.
No.
What have you learned from having chickens? Like, is there any life, let me ask you this way. Any life lessons that you have learned that you've applied to your life or something because of having chickens?
Absolutely. Letting nature take its course and knowing that the way God designed nature has a purpose.
Wow.
And watching the instincts of animals is amazing. And it has given me, honestly, like a deeper appreciation for how the Lord made us. Mm-hmm. Because those chickens have a job to do.
Yeah.
And they don't question if they're doing the job. Like, they just get up and do their job every day, whether I go out there or not.
Wow.
And the Lord gave them very specific tasks. And it's fascinating.
I thought you were going to have to work for that answer.
No.
That answer was like purring in you, like ready to go. And that was really good.
It has changed me.
And Billy,
to his credit, my husband, I wanted to manage the chicken operation at first.
Yep.
And he has so lovingly said, honey, let the chickens do what the chickens need to do. Don't get all in their business.
Uh-huh.
And it has made me a better chicken keeper and a better wife.
That's good. Shout out to Billy.
There will be many.
Yeah, many shout outs to Billy.
Yes.
That is really cool. Okay, so, all right. Living out in the country, you've got your thing, your ex from that. You've learned from the chickens.
Yes.
But now there's another thing that's really cool about y'all's property is that y'all have a pond.
We do.
And you all have fish in them.
We do.
Any life lessons from the pond? Or anything before somebody even thinks about, because you all built y'all's pond from the ground out. Is there anything like that you learned in the process of putting together a pond that for somebody out there thinking about it?
You know, if you don't have a pond, if it's not a natural pond, if it's not already there, having the vision for the pond, this is what I remember about building our pond. When we bought that land, it was totally wooded.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was out there that even resembled, there was no pond, but there was kind of just like a little low marshy area with one dead tree because of all the water. And Billy had this vision of what it was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me and tell me, and I just have to see stuff. And when he finally started making it happen, I was like, oh my gosh. So if you have to be a visionary, of which I am not sometimes. But it was fascinating. Yeah. And we also, to Billy's credit again, figuring out the ecosystem. So you don't just like fill up a pond and throw some fish out there. Like we waited for the rain to come, and luckily it came within like 2 or 3 weeks of building the pond. And then putting in the certain kind of fish to start with to kind of get the ecosystem started for like a whole year. Mm-hmm. And then we bought our catfish to put in. And so it's really interesting. We also have a blue heron that visits our pond, and that has been fascinating because they're huge. And so he comes down and stands on the bank and grabs a fish and down his throat. Yeah, I just did that. Did we say they were going to edit this?
No, and thank you for that, because I can see somebody cutting that up and making a reel out of you.
They love it. Oh, good. So fun. So great. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. And that's another thing living out in the country. You don't get those kind of moments. Mm-hmm. Like living in the city.
Oh, yeah. Like there was this bird one day when we first got out there on our bird feeder, and I literally had to Google a rainbow bird. I'm like, what is this bird? And they're called, I just totally forgot what they're called. Shoot, I'll think of it. Anyway, they're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And painted bunting.
Okay.
And I mean, they literally have like every color of the rainbow on them. They are stunning. And I didn't even know they existed until we moved out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Do you have any pictures of them? Because I want to find
it. Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I could Google it too.
You could Google it. It'd be a clearer picture on Google than what I have from my iPhone.
A much better photo.
Yeah, you'll appreciate it more.
That's good. Now, Maggie, I was thinking about this as I was putting together my thoughts as far as questions I asked. The first time we met, you tell me if I'm wrong, was at Eskridge for after hours for the chamber, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because I remember you come up to me and Billy introduces me to you as his wife. I'm like, this is not your wife. But you know, like, I'm like, I mean, I love Billy.
Of course.
But I was like, Billy, you don't have game to have pulled Maggie right. Clark as your
man.
I really was I was like, really? This is really your wife? Yeah.
Yes, that is the first time.
That is the first time we met.
And
okay.
I had just heard every day at home. I'm like, who is this person? Uh-huh. And so I remember the first time I met you, I was like, yes, finally. Yes.
Finally, somebody who
I have a reference.
Yes, I can see him.
For this person.
But then as we continue to get to know each other, we had a mutual friend.
Yes.
And somebody that I love dearly, Derek Sire.
Yay.
Yeah. And you Hornets. And Derek, I was about to say, y'all both went together. Yeah, graduated together.
Yes.
That is crazy.
Yeah. He's awesome.
So what was Derek like in high school?
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember? I know that. I mean,
happy, smiling.
Really?
I'll just say smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always smiling. So nice.
Yeah.
Such a nice person.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was right. His dad and mom did good with him. Like, I feel like the same Derek I get now is the same that he's always.
And Takiya, his wife.
Yes.
They are
she graduated with you too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The fact that they are married just makes my heart sing.
That's,
they were like, they were like already the old couple walking down the hall at Booker T. Like, it was like, yes, that's going to work.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, that's good.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there for the beginning, but I'm glad they stayed together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I think they balance each other out, because Takiya is so reserved and chill and not the outgoing. And then Derek's, you know.
I love his shout outs on Facebook about her. Like, you fine, you hot, like all that stuff. I'm like, that is awesome.
Yeah, so, good for him. Yeah, that's really good. Really good. So tell me, how would your friends describe Maggie Clark, just so everybody can kind of get a reference? Let's get a little backstory on you. How would your friends describe the 8 to 11-year-old Maggie Clark, her family?
Man, 8 to 11. I loved dolls. I played dolls constantly. So my sister Mary and my other sister Laura will say, like, baby animals and baby humans are my thing.
Uh-huh.
So baby, infantile, like fresh from hatching,
yes,
is my thing.
Okay.
So, like, we played dolls. I babysat a ton, obviously, like, 12 and older. Uh-huh. But, man, we just played all the time. I had two friends in the neighborhood, and we wore that street.
Okay. Out. It was busy.
And slumber parties, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, your whole life, did you grow up in Tulsa?
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
What, you know, when you, so you've spent time in Oklahoma City now,
oh, yeah,
and Tulsa. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the big differences between the two, if there's any?
I feel like the age of the community, like not just the people in the community, but I feel like, and maybe it's because I grew up there, but I feel like Tulsa is like, it's older, mm-hmm, you know, it's more, I don't know, mature. And like Oklahoma City is like a sixth grader, you know, it's like still having fun. And I know there's a whole mess of people in Tulsa having fun, but it's probably the time in my life that I lived there. When I go back there, I'm like, oh, this feels kind of mature.
Uh-huh.
Like the oil, yeah, you know, and all that old stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's the difference for me.
Did you live in the same neighborhood your whole life? Or? Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Do, yeah, your parents live in the same?
My mom still has that house.
Mom, yes, still has the house?
Yeah. Okay. We moved, we lived in this neighborhood, and literally when I was two, we moved across the street. Like not across a busy street, just a neighborhood,
yeah,
street. So into a bigger house.
Okay.
And I lived there since I was two until I graduated.
Got you. And your mom still has that house.
My mom still has
that. When you go
house.
Home, is your bedroom still the same? You know how, like, on movies,
no chance.
Like on movies, people come home and the bedroom's, it's
let
not
me just
real,
say,
huh? Yeah.
So when we all left home, like, the dust was not off our feet, and my mom was like scraping wallpaper and redoing the room.
You all
and,
are out.
Oh, yeah. You're, and I'm the same way. Like,
uh-huh,
Ethan came home the other day. He ate like 17 tacos and then he fell asleep on my couch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I pay good money for you to sleep across town. So,
yes,
get
out. Go.
Go on.
Not here. My sister. My little sister, her bedroom is still the same.
Is it?
Yeah, that's where Bernadette, when we go home,
yeah,
we sleep in her room.
Uh-huh.
It's still the same from when she grew up. Same pictures on the wall.
Yeah, everything
is still.
And that's fine. Like, that's, my mom has to look at it every day.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But nope,
yeah,
don't have,
yeah,
that.
But I was just wondering if that, yeah, was the case for you all.
Changed.
But yeah.
Lots of, it's office. Like, she's got her office, uh-huh, and then there's a guest bedroom. And yeah, it's totally different.
Now, you mentioned your siblings. Do you just have the two sisters?
I have two sisters.
Okay. Yep. One older and one younger?
Both older. I'm the baby.
Oh, you're the baby. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now, did you have a favorite sister out of the two? Or can you not say that on the podcast?
We are the closest, seriously, the closest three siblings I've ever known.
Really?
And we've had like some family challenges in, you know, the recent past, and it is like Fort Knox. I mean,
really?
Sister call. Like, that's what we call it. It's a sister call. We get on the call, we talk about stuff, like what's happening. Now, Mary works with me. So the, uh-huh, middle one, Mary, works with me. Interestingly, Laura, we don't work together, but we are identical in nature, like the organization and the, like, intensity and all of that. So we're very similar. So
does that, but you all still get along. So that's really good.
Oh, 'cause, yeah,
some people who are similar, especially when it's a kind of, intense kind of, it's hard for them to.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's always easy.
No, I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you still are good.
Oh, yeah. And really, we have all made it a priority, almost like looking at other families who haven't been able to keep that together. Like, we're going to make it our priority that this is not going to break up. Like, we're always going to have each other,
yeah,
and each other's backs.
Yeah.
And paramount is peace and love. So
that's good.
Yeah. I've nothing to say except it's amazing.
That is really good. Now, do y'all have a text thread that's just ongoing,
this
longest?
Yes. Never deleted.
Outdoors?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming all three of you have iPhones, so there's,
yes,
no problem there. You can share videos
everything
too.
Yes. It's like, now one of them's not on Facebook. So it really is our text thread.
Yeah, that's it.
Solid.
Yeah. Got to have something if you're not on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, and it's so it'll be random. Like Laura early in the morning, she'll text some crazy meme and then Mary will chime in at like 5 and then I'm on the next day. It's our lifeline.
That's good. So Tim, let's go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So middle school to high school, do you feel like there was a big change for you? Was there anything in high school that kind of you look back today and you're like, man, that was probably some of the reason I am to who I am today. Did you have any of that?
Yes. I would say I was fortunate to be part of a youth group at our Catholic church growing up, and we did mission trips. And every summer we went to South Carolina. And when I was 16, I kind of decided to fall away from the youth group. I was too cool. Like, I was having more fun doing other things.
Yeah.
And to his credit, Ron Tremblay, who is still a friend of our family, he was our youth pastor. He called me, and I remember I was driving on Cherry Street in Tulsa in my Jeep, Cherokee. And he called me, and he was like, I'm just calling to tell you that if you don't change what you're doing right now, you're not going to South Carolina next summer. And I was like, ooh, I better evaluate myself, because that trip meant everything to me.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was kind of a defining moment in my life. Yeah. And you know how people who deal with the youth, this is not my, all, everyone in my G3 group will be like, what is Maggie not like? Maggie does not like children except her own. So to deal with the youth is not my thing.
Yeah.
To his credit, it was totally like, hey, I'm not going to, it wasn't even a threat. It was just a piece of information. Like, you might want to consider this. And so that was really big for me.
Now, out of that moment, him being willing to call you and say that, that would be very hard for me to make that call. Mm-hmm. And you saying, like, now you look back at that, then you get ready to graduate high school and go into college.
Yeah.
Did any of that carry over for you? What was your college life like?
College life was short. I went to Colorado for a year, and that did not end really well for me. I was totally went with my boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
And he totally broke up with me. And so
while you were in Colorado?
While we were in Colorado. And I have a regret, really only one regret in my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't regret anything in my life except this one thing. We came home from Colorado for spring break.
For sure.
He broke up with me while we were at home on spring break. We had brought my car home, and I still drove him back to school.
After he had broke up with you?
After he broke up with me.
Are you serious?
If there is one thing I could do over, out of everything I have ever done in my whole life, I would have made him find his own ride back to school.
Did somebody say you should take him back? Like, what made you?
No, I was a completely different person then. Gotcha. I self-esteem, you know, what I think matters. Like, I can make this decision. Was not. I mean, I just didn't have that yet. So I just did. But anyway, so 1 year in college in Colorado, another year at UCO, and then I found out I was having Ethan as a surprise in college.
Gotcha.
So, and then I married his dad, and we were married for 5 years.
Gotcha.
So college was, it was okay. I didn't love school.
Yeah.
Like school yeah. is not my thing.
Gotcha. So. When did you know that you would be an entrepreneur?
Later. I got my very first job. Because I couldn't finish school because I was having Ethan. So I went and got a job as a bank teller. Mm. And that led to some relationships that landed me in the insurance industry. But my mentor, I would say the person that helped me realize that I had a business mind was my mentor and really good friend, Rich. And then when I met Billy, he really was like, oh my gosh, you can do this. I mean, he gave me what I needed as a person to be able to believe in myself to do that.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah. And so was it scary? Like whenever you – tell me about the moment – and I feel like maybe I know the – do I know – like when you decided I'm going on my own. What did that look like? What day was that?
Well, luckily, I didn't have to do it by myself. I did with my friend Rich. We left together. We were working at the same company at the time. And I do remember when we decided, and it was just such a realization that the culture of the company we were working for and the culture that we believed in, our families believed in, was just so different. And so, you know, I can't even really say I was scared. The most nerve-wracking thing to me was actually telling our boss that I was quitting. Like, I had total, like, panic mode. But, yeah, it was so exciting. And I just felt like the best team. Like, I had Billy, my friend Rich. Like, we were just going to set the world on fire.
Now, from that moment that you left and made that decision, had you went back to a traditional job at all? You haven't. Have you been on your own ever since? And how long has that been?
8 years.
Wow. 8 years.
Yeah. Same industry, now self-employed.
Got you.
Yeah.
In those 8 years, what was the scariest or defining, or what was the moment where you was like, I've gotten through that, I can do this for sure?
Yeah. My first presentation. So when I started in the insurance industry, we were doing all like the voluntary type products like accident and life and cancer policies. And my first client that I had their group health insurance. So a much more serious animal than an accident policy or a, you know, critical illness policy. My very dear friend Katrina went with me because she's a very seasoned insurance professional. And I said, will you come and do this enrollment with me? And she came with me. And after that presentation, she was like, I love you with all my heart, but you have to learn your product better than you know it right now. You've got some work to do. And I was like, okay. And when I realized that the information was available to me, if I would just go find it and learn it for myself, I feel like that was a pivotal time where I was like, okay, I can do this. I know what I need to do, and the information is out there. I think there's a whole information avoidance thing in our world today. Like, well, if I don't know it, then I don't have to be responsible for it. Well, when your name is on the door, that's not an option.
Yeah.
I can't point to the person next door and be like, they didn't do it right, because I'm the one.
Yeah.
And so the turning point was like, okay, I can do this. And I just started reading and reading and reading.
Just so you can know your stuff in
just
and
to
out.
No questions. Yeah. Calling insurance companies and asking questions that even the people who answered the phone didn't know the answer to. I'm like, somebody has to call me back and explain this because I don't get it.
Gotcha. Yeah. And from that, can you tell a story of like, I'm so grateful that I went and got all this information because at this moment, I needed the most. So at that time, when the lady came to you, evidently you should have known the information, right? Yes. Now I'm saying you now have the information.
Yeah.
When was that moment where you was like, I am so thankful I knew that? Do you have one like
I
that?
I do, actually. He wasn't even a client. It was a friend of a friend. And, you know, like whatever you do in life, when a friend of a friend has a question, they're like, hey, I know this person. I'm not your client. I don't have anything to do with you, but maybe you know the answer. So a friend of a friend called me, and he had had a claim denied by the insurance company for a heart attack and for being out of network. And I read his policy, and I'm going through all this stuff, and we appealed his claim. It came down to the fact that he went out of network, but it was an emergency, so you can't be penalized, right? And so because he walked into the ER, he lived like a block from the hospital. And because he walked in and didn't take an ambulance ride, they were not coding his claim right. And so it took us 18 months, and we met about once a month at the Norman Library for about a year and a half, and we finally got the claim paid.
Wow.
And that was a super proud moment for me, because he had no idea. We got the insurance company or the insurance commissioner involved. There's a mediation process. There's an appeals process. And I have always felt really proud and thankful to be part of that for him, because it was a difference of tens of thousands of dollars for
him. That is really cool. So now you're saying this person was not a client?
No.
But you were meeting with them monthly. Yeah. You just was like, I'm getting this.
No one else was helping him.
And you took it on.
Absolutely.
That is a really cool
story.
It
was fun.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, yeah, you knew some information in order to kind of moving forward, but then you probably learned stuff too.
Oh, so much out of doing that experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
That is so cool. Yeah.
And I've written like 10 appeal letters since then. So,
oh, really? Yeah. So you were like, oh, I'm a master at this.
I know what to put in your appeal letter. Let me write that for you and email it to you.
I have the template.
I have the template.
That's good.
All the scary words at the end. I got it.
So being an entrepreneur, so GoWin is about, hey, what are these right things that a person should be consistent in order to achieve whatever the win is.
Yes.
For me, just sitting across from you right now, the win is for you to grow this business, to be able to help your clients get the most out of their benefit packages. And so what are some things that, and you don't have to go in depth in them, but what are a few different things that you feel like, hey, I've learned that I need to be consistent in doing this in order to really to be the best at what you do?
I need to spend time. I was in a business leaders group for a while, and I learned the difference between working in your business and working on your business. And so as the business owner or entrepreneur, I need to spend time working on my business as well as in my business. So thinking about growth and strategy and organization and all of that, as well as the day-to-day of what I actually do every day. So I would say that's the biggest thing that I have to continue to do to keep it going.
So in out of that, are there any like practical things that you do every day to just to keep working on the business versus always being in it?
The one thing I do every day is ask God to show me what doors to walk through and which ones to close.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, everyone wants something and everybody has a great idea and everybody wants you to do this. And, just really talking to the most important people in my life, Billy, you know, other business people and mentors that I care about, just making sure I do every day is consider what a good opportunity for me is. And just, I don't know, I don't get to work on my business every day. I'm more in the business every day.
Gotcha.
But just having that kind of in the back of your head and growth strategies, you know, how can – what are some of the big strides we can make to jump forward? Keeping my eyes out for those.
Gotcha. You got me taking notes.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. I like that. And I think that's something talking about working in versus on. Mm-hmm. I hear people say that regularly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What doors to walk through and which ones to close.
Yes.
Are always big challenges, especially as you grow as a business.
Yeah.
And that can be really complicated because walking in the wrong one or closing the wrong one could be devastating to you as a business owner.
I think taking your time to evaluate opportunities. I am a black and white thinker. So there is right and wrong for me. There is, you know, we've had conversations like, is this right or is it wrong?
Yeah.
And when I want to make decisions and tie bows on things and put like tie the bow, be done, tie the bow, be done. And that's not how I don't think I'm a successful business person when I am continually just yes, no, yes, no, yes, no all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So to take the time to let something marinate and think about it and, you know, over time, new things will come to me. Even if it's just 24 hours, but I'm such a quick decision maker.
Yeah.
That's a challenge for me is to slow down. You know, my friend says, play it forward, like take this 20 steps down the road. Mm-hmm. What will it look like then?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Something I'm learning.
Tell me who's your biggest fan in being an entrepreneur. Is there somebody outside? Of course, Billy.
Billy, yes, Billy is my Billy, number one.
We know you're the number one. Is there a second?
My sister Mary is probably my number one. She works with me.
Yeah.
To her credit, she has always allowed it to be my business. Like, you know, but I think to my credit, she's totally part of, you know, in my brain, she's part owner. Like it's just this thing we do together.
Yeah.
And she's probably my biggest fan because she just always makes me feel like I'm killing it.
Yeah.
No matter what. Cheerleader.
That's good. Yeah,
and
that's
Ethan,
good.
I will say my son Ethan is a major cheerleader for me in business.
That's good.
And it's so cute because he doesn't you know, he doesn't know a lot about what I do. He's like, Mom, I don't know what you're talking about right now, but I think you should X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, okay. But it just makes me feel good that he's paying attention.
That's good. Now, thinking about this, is just off because, like, I always wanted to work for my dad. Like, just to be in the family business or whatever, it has never happened. I mean, I worked for him for one summer or whatever. My brother works for him. My sister does not. But do you ever think about, like, Ethan working for you? Or
I would love for Ethan to work with us. It's not going to happen. I have been asking him since he was little. And he's like, no, Mom. No, thanks. Ethan wants to see the world. Yeah. I mean, I don't see quite enough of the map for Ethan to come work with me.
Gotcha.
Now, when you get older and you realize that, you know, there's still bills to pay and, you know, thankfully we've made a good living and it's, you know, maybe he'll change his mind, but I seriously doubt it.
Yeah, no. Thinking about, like, just the future, what does it look like for you to grow up your bit, like – 5 to 10 years from now, for Maggie to look back and be like, all right, we did it. What does that look like?
Man, I've got to step off a cliff here probably pretty quick and decide, you know, are we going to maintain, you know, is this what we want? Or are we going to take some steps and talk to other brokers who are like-minded and maybe work together on a more concrete level? Hiring staff is so much harder than I ever thought it would be. Right now, the workforce is difficult. And so, like, people not even calling into interviews and stuff like that is really hard. So I'm really looking to God to lead me for that. But in 5 years, if I look back, I think we've got a bigger team. And I think it involves some other professionals that I admire and I look up to and I trust. Maybe doing something with them.
That's good. And so in order to do those kind of things, it sounds like you're saying you got to make decisions on hiring.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
That's huge.
Because that means if you're growing, there's more work to be done.
Yeah.
You can't be doing everything because you need to be working on the business versus in the business.
Exactly.
I hear you saying that hiring people is a challenge right now for crazy reason. It's not just you.
No, it's everyone.
It's everyone. And so I guess right now you're probably trying to figure out, what does that look like? How do you become a great hire?
Right. So there's a book, Danita Rogers in our church. She's the athletic director at Lane. Has she done this
podcast? Yeah.
Oh, she's so great.
Yeah,
She introduced me to a book called Who. And they used it. It's a hiring practice. And it is not like anything I've ever read or looked at. But they used it to hire two key coaching positions. And I have been using it to at least come up with my model for how to hire someone when I get there. It has totally changed my professional
life. Give us a little bit of what have you gotten out of the book?
Maybe just one or two things. It's all about finding the right who. Okay, so you're looking for a specific person. And what I can say I've gotten out of it is, move on. Like, it is not worth settling for someone who's just going to show up and punch the clock. If you have to wait 6 more months or even a year to find the right person, it is worth it.
Now, is that easier said than done to wait? Oh,
waiting? Yes. Terrible. Awful. I'm drowning, right? But to hear Danita, it's a total blessing that Danita's gone before. Like, she's got the two coaches. And I just asked her on Wednesday night, I'm like, how are the new coaches? And she just was... She was like, I can't even tell you how great it is.
Yeah.
And as people lead, she's like, this is what we're doing. You know, our president has said we're doing this for every hire going forward, all departments.
Cool.
So
that's cool.
I highly recommend it. I've learned so much about myself as a business person, the kind of person I want to be. It's a great book. Gotcha. I highly recommend listening to it.
Gotcha.
Because the guy that reads it's great.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So the audio.
Yes.
Do the audio.
Is good.
That's good. That's good. This is so, you're doing a great job,
thank
by the
you.
Way. You're
I'm
doing a really good job. Don't you think she's doing a great job, Bernadette? Yeah. Bernadette, did you get pictures of us sitting over here doing a great job?
There's still time.
There's still time. You still got
like,
time. You're over there. She's over there hard at work.
Yeah, dude.
Come on,
she
Bernadette. All right. So, all right. Now, man, we talked about so much. Let's talk about your superpower. Because I feel like your super, well, let me just speak for myself. If I was to hire somebody based on my personality, my weakness, you know, like the things that is not a strength for me, to compliment me would be one of the things that I know you're really good at.
Okay.
And that's organization.
Yes.
Just start out kind of walking us through how you process organizations and how it impacts your business. And you don't have to go super deep into it, but just talk us through, like, what does that look like? Give us maybe some some takeaways that Hedy can walk away from here today, grab a few file folders maybe. Right, I don't know what that may look like, but just talk us through.
So organization, like, makes me breathe easier. You know, chaos does not work for me. And I realized that later in business. But I would say that if there is something in your business that you find yourself doing over and over and over again, either the same task or the same process or the same idea, stop and take an hour and create an actual process around that thing so that you don't have to recreate it every time. So for us, that is file management and like data keeping. The quicker you can get a process and make every client or every project, whatever your business is, make every hamburger fit into this process as much as you can. They're never perfect. There's always outliers. But figuring out how to organize your information in your business is the most important thing, I would say. So for me, it started out literally as paper file folders for, you know, one for every client. In fact, then we had a binder, and a binder for every client. Behind every tab was a product we were enrolling for them. You know, and it just evolves to, of course, more digital technology, but keeping things in some sort of an orderly fashion so you can find them later. And so you can plug things into them is key as early as you can.
Now, how often do you revisit these types of systems and processes?
Some of them we revisit monthly. Okay. I mean, there are things that Mary and I work on still to this day that we tweaked a process yesterday that's been in place for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly tweaking things. And there are some things like my file folders, my digital folders, I haven't changed those since day one. I've always had the same 7 folders for every client. Underneath those folders or in those folders, the files have changed and how we manage those. But there are some things that you get right and you keep them. But then we visit anytime it doesn't feel right, anytime it's a curb or a speed bump or anything that you keep tripping over, we keep going back to it until we don't trip over it anymore.
Gotcha. Now, explain real quick exactly the work that you do.
So we're employee benefits consultants. So all that means is that we go into businesses of any kind, and we help employers find and implement and manage employee benefits. So that there's a lot that fits into that. But
yeah. So real quick, because whenever you talk about the benefits, but I've heard you say products several times.
Like medical, dental, vision
are considered life, products disability. For you. Okay.
Yeah. So those are each individual products that we go to the market and find and implement for those clients, finding the best deal.
Okay, so I'm a small business owner. Mm-hmm. I have some employees. Mm-hmm. I want to now add benefits as part of the package that they get, which would be, so you have your salary. Mm-hmm. Then I'm saying, hey, I'm going to take on providing you benefits.
Right.
That's going to be a monthly cost for me for each person on my team.
Yes.
In that I can decide as the employee, can I come to you and be like, okay, I at least want to give them health and dental.
Yes.
And so that would be 2 products that I'm getting for them.
Correct.
And then that's going to say, this is just an example. It costs me $250 per employee.
Right.
So if an employee's getting paid $40,000, their now overall package is going to be $40,250.
That's correct.
Exactly. Okay. And so then I want to add a third. I can call you and say, hey, I want to add a third.
It's always medical and dental first. And then they're like, we're ready for vision.
Vision. Okay. Is that it? Okay.
Yep, that's
okay.
The third
and then
one.
I want to add vision to each one of my people.
Yes.
And then there's going to be a cost added to
correct.
That. And so the more employees, the price comes
cheaper.
Down?
Oh, it could be a general rule. Yes.
Okay.
There are lots of different levels of products. So I might have a really big company that wants a really rich product. So it might be more.
Okay.
You know, because they've chosen a higher level.
Got
but
you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's averaging.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you as a business owner is are saying to me that your superpower is this ability to organize things.
Yes.
And it may not be your superpower, may not be my superpower, but this is definitely something that you're saying, hey, find your person who that's their superpower, because it's going to make your ability to communicate,
yes,
is what I think I'm hearing or feel like I'm saying, or save me time.
Absolutely.
Because now I know that I have these seven efficiency.
Yes.
I have these seven folders.
Yes.
They call. That's yes. folder six or
that's
whatever.
Exactly
is in,
I don't right.
What is in folder six?
Yeah. Folder six is like renewals.
Okay.
So all their renewals go in that folder. And we're down to like even a naming scheme. Like if it's I've got a client, let's say it's North Church, and the name of the file is North Church Always First, because if it's out of place, I have to know what client it belongs to. And then it goes in the renewal folder. So it's North Church dash renewals dash Blue Cross and Blue Shield, if that's the medical carrier, dash December 1st, 2022, because that's the renewal date. So we have a naming scheme for every file so that if a file gets dropped in the wrong folder, it's a sore thumb. It's like, gotcha. Why is there a North Church file in the Brahms folder? Brahms is not my client. I just ate it for lunch. So, you know, that.
But
that
Brahms, whole thing, if you need benefits.
Yes.
If you need a new person, come on.
Family owned Oklahoma.
Yes. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Okay. So are these digital or are these real folders?
No, these are digital.
These are digital.
Scanned or saved files.
Got you.
That have a digital naming format.
What software do y'all use?
I have an IT genius that I have hired as a consultant. And so we have shared files and a share sync file in environment. And that's where all of our folders are housed.
Gotcha.
So it's you've got to be logged in. It's all in bank level encryption, so all that kind of stuff. Cause HIPAA is a whole thing. And
yeah.
I don't want to call Channel 9 and say I've had some sort of a breach. Breach is my scare word.
Yeah. So, listening to you talk about these systems, the first thing I always think about is McDonald's, because they have systems.
Okay.
Meaning that if Hetty's hired,
yep,
they can bring me in and they're just going to walk me through the set. Anybody
plug
can do
you
it.
In.
Plug me right into
yes.
whatever that system may be.
Yes.
When you're thinking about these hires, mm-hmm. is some of that also your thought process as far as how we work together as a team, knowing these systems?
Like for employees?
For employees, yes.
So we definitely think about when we create a system, is it something we can easily show someone? So Mary in the office does a great job of creating, and she does it for our clients too, like processes. Like how do you process a new hire in the Blue Cross enrollment system or whatever? So she'll type up this whole thing that I could literally, if you had my credentials, you could log in and do it. So we do that. I want to be clear though about customization on our client side. We are not one size fits all when it comes to benefits. So it made me think of it when you said like plugging in, you know, processes.
Mm-hmm.
That on the business side is paramount. But when you get to working with clients, it is really important that they don't feel like they're just getting what everybody else got because it's easy for me.
Gotcha.
We will go find that wonky pet insurance product because everybody at ABC Company has Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of thing we do for our clients. But on our end, we make it a process so that we can serve them well.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that based on how you kept saying products.
Right.
So when I'm hearing products, I'm hearing, it's almost like, oh my goodness, what's the word I'm looking for? Like there's a variety of options here that I can get from you all because
Absolutely.
Y'all have more than one product.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So if
so
I
like
need
a bigger
to,
company, do they need to be fully insured on their medical or can they be self-funded?
Uh-huh.
Like, can we help them go self-fund their medical plan and not have a Blue Cross? Can they pay their own claims? And we do a lot of that too. So
wow. So you could have the ability to pay your own claims and not even go through. I guess would that be the same as if I'm independently wealthy and I don't go.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, we put reinsurance. So no one's just out there on their own.
Yeah.
But it's a much higher limit. So you're really working with your own money to a certain degree. And then if you hit this big, scary number, there's an insurance company to come behind you and help. You pay a little, you know, you pay a fee for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, self-funding. We do that with a lot of our healthcare clients because they can utilize their own employee. They can, it's called domestic usage. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a healthcare entity and I have 7 doctors on staff, well, I'm going to go self-funded because my employees can go see my doctors and my right hand can pay my left hand 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And we now have health insurance.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Man, that's good. So organization, figuring out your systems, things of that nature. It sounds like you got to know the right questions to ask yourself.
Yes.
To kind of get to the place of really how that system and organization is going to look for you.
Yeah. And being honest with yourself, like, I feel like I'm learning, I'm 41 and I'm just really starting to get comfortable with just like, I totally screwed that up. You know, like I'm willing to be like, man, I did not do that right. I'm going to do it better next time. So to be honest with yourself, you don't have to go confess it to everyone, but being honest about if something's working and if it's not, throw it in the trash and start over.
Yeah. No, for sure. Cause that's how you're going to get to the best, like to your best system or the best way to organize whatever that is by every day or every week or once a month, reevaluating that. Or sometimes you just learn like, okay, that's not working.
Exactly.
But sometimes it's a matter of like, okay, let me go back to that. Let me play with that a little bit more. Yeah.
If it doesn't feel right, it's not right. Mm. And that's in everything. Business dealings, organizations, checklist, whatever. If it's a speed bump and every time you walk by it, you trip your toe, go back to the drawing board, dude. Do not stub your toe anymore.
Yeah.
It will save you time to come back to the drawing board, then keep stubbing your toe.
But it's a good point in what you're saying is like, don't let that failure be something that cripples you.
Yes.
Like, be okay with it and look at it as something that you learn from.
Give yourself some grace.
Go readjust or bring somebody in.
Yes. Like, I'm all about grace for everybody else, but not for myself. That's the hard thing. But yes, bring somebody in, get a fresh pair of eyes.
Uh-huh.
Having people that especially are in your organization, like Billy is a fabulous businessman. He was in the car industry though, mm-hmm. different than the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. So there are business questions that I ask Billy because it's business. Like business is business. And then there are some things I go to other people who do specifically what I do because they might have a better process for it. So yes, collaboration among non-competing professionals is awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a must.
All right, let me ask you a few fire rapid questions if you don't mind.
Okay, this sounds fun.
You ready?
Yes.
If you had a billboard, everybody in the world was going to see it. What does it say?
God loves you.
That's the best one yet, ladies and gentlemen. For all you unsaved heathens.
Heathens.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You have $1 million
mm-hmm.
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to use it to impact your community?
I'm going to, and this is something Billy and I have actually talked about. We're going to make bigger classrooms at church. And I am not even being funny. We have talked about this. You know we have talked about this. But for real, we're going to have bigger classrooms at North Church Guthrie. But that impacts my community.
Yes, it does. That's a very specific community as well.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I do mean that in all seriousness.
No.
For that. It's our home. Like I was just there today. It's home.
Yeah.
Like that's our home.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's good. It's just fun. It's funny to us because we've been talking about this back and forth for a while. So tomorrow you wake up. You're waking up again tomorrow.
I hope so.
Yeah. You wake up again tomorrow. You're going on a trip to wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
Well, actually, on Monday, we are going on a trip. We're going to Bozeman, Montana.
Oh.
Because we just want to go see that place.
Uh-huh.
But, like, anywhere.
Yeah.
Man, where do I want to go? I would like to go to Jerusalem. like walk where Jesus walked. That's definitely on the list.
No, that's a cool place.
Like he was here.
Yeah, that's a cool place. That's really good. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Maggie Clark has dropped goodness on us. I couldn't take notes because I had to ask questions and focus too. Right. But you did a great job.
I think it's been recorded, so you could listen.
Yeah. No, that takes me another hour out of my day.
I know it's another hour.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. This was really fun.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Just think about it. Like you told me no the first 3 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Like no, I'm not doing it. No. And look, you've come a little. You know.
I totally.
Oh my goodness. So
this was so fun.
That's good.
I'm scared to watch it, but I think I will later.
No, you look great. Look at yourself. Look, you look amazing. You're fine.
I appreciate
it. You're fine. And you did a great job. Didn't she do a great job, Bernadette?
Super fun.
Yep.
Ladies, you guys are awesome.
Yes. Aww. Yep. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, Bernadette's back in the building. You know,
I love Bernadette.
She used to be a regular attender, and now she only has, what do you call it? When people just show up randomly every once in a while. Special appearance.
Part-time. I'm just kidding.
That's funny. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast, where we sit down with fabulous people. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, as always, go in.